Khrushchev. He was seen as an extremely difficult person. He presided over one of the most oppressive regimes of that time, so to speak. But what many people did not know was that after he left office, he came to know Christ as his Savior. And he came to know Christ as his Savior, so I'm told, largely as a result of having a Bible when he was a boy, reading the scriptures, memorizing the scriptures, and being encouraged to do so. So the seed, listen to me, that went into him as a child came to flourish in the latter years of his life. So don't minimize the significance of what's taking place back here. Now, I know it's not the whole story. If you're mom and dad, you got to do it. Otherwise, you're saying it only works when it's in there. And I know you don't believe that. So open your Bibles with me to Revelation, the 4th chapter, as we continue in our study of your worship life, my worship life. When you have Revelation, the 4th chapter, if you stand to your feet one more time, I promise if you stand to your feet one more time, I'll preach shorter. Shorter than what I know you're asking. Father, we believe you are an amazingly wise creator. And you created us as worship beings. We come out of the womb, Lord, looking to exalt someone or something. We have that instinct. And Lord, we pray that that instinct that you birthed in us as your sons and daughters, as your subjects, Lord, would be offered back to you rightfully. Quicken us with insight and revelation today as we study this subject and listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know why, but your smile looks so much better today. Nice. Some of you are cracking it for the first time. Okay. All right, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10 says, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne. A crown is something that on earth people use or provide to acknowledge the greatness or the significance of someone or something that they've done, or in our case, the royal family. But these elders aren't necessarily crowned for any earthly reason. They have crowns for other reasons. And I won't dig that out for you today. But whatever they're there for, and the Bible makes it clear, they lay their crowns before the throne of God, and they say, you are worthy, along with all celebrities. No, that's not in my version. Is that in your version? But I'm talking about the world's version. All celebrities are worthy. Therefore, we should worship them. Hello. Because that's the world in which we live. There's worship going on in this world, bigger and larger and deeper than ever in human history. And because worship is a spirit thing. Christians have to be very careful about who they're honoring as worthy. And I'll come back to that. I'd like you to kind of think about that. What's worthy? How do you honor and respect others and not worship them? Important to recognize the distinctions. Regardless of what accolades you or I may gain on this earthly journey, whatever God allows me or you to do, whatever accomplishments you have, like these 24 who represent us all, you're going to lay your crown at His feet. I like what Isaiah 26:11 says. All that we have accomplished, You have done for us. So it kind of puts our partnership on this earth in a wonderful perspective. Is that God expects you to accomplish, and you know that He does expect you, and you want to, and you say yes to Him, and you know, you also know that you can't really accomplish unless He helps you. So He says, all that we have accomplished, You have done for us. And so your whole life is encapsulated in that verse. Is that God expects something from you. He enables you to do what He expects of you. But in the end, we'll take it all. So, you know, God, You gave me such a great voice. You gave me such a great whatever. I was so good with painting. I was just amazing with this or with that or the other. But in the end, You lay Your crown at His feet. You're My Creator. You gave it. I wouldn't have anything. I wouldn't have anything. And so it informs your journey. Sometimes I'm in hospitals praying and encouraging people. While I'm there, I sometimes see people that because of their physical condition, they have no awareness of anybody or anything. They have no intelligent conversation or capability to negotiate life at all. And it always strikes me how blessed I am. And in the middle of it, I'm reminded of how, because I am blessed, there's a responsibility. I can't always grasp at all why such a person is like they are. And there is something inside of me that says, that's not right, and that should be radically altered. And that's always the burden of my heart for them. So it's important to remember, you live your life exalting Him because He's worthy. He's worthy. You know, my oldest brother that I dearly love, we weren't close growing up, and we had to have a reconciliation when my father passed. But I remember certain parts of our journey. My oldest brother's a very, 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 very intelligent man. And he became aware of how intelligent he was. When he was about 17, he took an IQ test. I mean, this is a guy who, when he started university, he skipped the first 3 years and took the fourth year. But when he was 17, he took this IQ test. And he came home one day after having gotten the results of his IQ test. And he was going to tell my dad, what's what? You know, he was, you know, sometimes when you're 17, you don't think right. I know, when you were 17, you did. It was just me. Okay, okay. But he was going to tell my dad just, you know, what's what. I mean, how in the world could such a smart person have such a dumb dad? And so he told my dad, he said, you know, they told me my IQ. And it was some astronomical figure. And I could see my dad was knowing that there could be a problem here. And my dad said, well, son, I don't care what your IQ is. If it doesn't help you make your bed, it doesn't much good. And really what he's saying is, son, don't get a big head about how smart you are. Whatever brain you've got, whether you think it's little or great, God gave it to you. God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, he can use it. And he can use it for his glory. It says, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. Glory, honor, and power, that's what our world is largely surrounding itself with right now. What's in the media every day? Glory, honor, and power. Or this discussion or the argument or the war over those three elements, glory, honor, and power. Who's going to be the biggest person in the Middle East? Who's going to have the strongest, biggest nation? Who's going to have the most IT? Well, these elders say, he's the one that's worthy of glory, honor, and power. For you created most things. No, you created all things. All things. All things. All things. There isn't anything that God hasn't created. Oh, no, Pastor, that's not true because, you know, I know a carpenter and he made it. Well, where did he get the wood to make it? Anything that's made from other things, and all things are made from other things, came from him. Came from him. And one of the many sides of that great truth is that anything he made, he can fix. We'll come back to that. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So sometimes people say to me, well, you don't believe in evolution? No. Why don't you believe in evolution? Well, because the Bible says something different. God created everything. And the Bible gives the story of his creation. And so I honor him as the creator, not the evolver. And I know you might have a different view. That's your prerogative. But this is what the scripture says is part of the basis of our worship. Is it one of the dangers of life is to become self-sufficient and self-important, self-significant. And it's worship that helps keep you free from those things. Even when you don't feel like it, you can come into a service and everything seems upside down and you don't feel like even being here, but you can stand there in faith and lift your hands to the Lord and open your mouth when your soul is in the basement and you can begin to sing praises and you can say you are worthy of it all. You're worthy of it, for from you are all things and everything comes back to you. And so this created things brings back to you what you are worthy of receiving. That's not only rehabilitative to your soul, but it's transforming to your life. So if there's anything that Satan wants to fight, it's your worship. If he can persuade you to get here late and miss out on it, or come here and not engage, That's exactly what he wants to do. And he's going, yes, I did it. I got another victory. I kept them from something that I know better than they know is so powerful to make a difference in their life. What was the big war over in Matthew 4 when Jesus was about, well, Jesus had just been baptized? The big war was over worship. Satan said to Jesus, look, he said, just worship me. Just bow down and worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Just worship me. And that's why I've always said Satan understands worship better than most believers, because he knows how valuable it is. If he can keep you and me out of worship, if he can keep me from getting out of bed when I'm really tired and just going downstairs and just looking at my phone and not praising him and not exalting him and not waiting before him and not saying to him again in the morning, Lord, you're worthy of my praise. You're worthy. If he can get me to do that, he knows he's got a wedge in there in my day. Worship is so vitally important. More important than your eating. Oh, you need to eat. Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, you need to eat. Maybe not as much, but you do need to eat. See, I didn't need anybody to tell me I need to eat. But what I'm trying to do is I'm by God's grace, trying to pound into our understanding and our belief, our conviction, our inner man, this value system that says, you know, worship is something that's a whole lot more important than what we do here. What we do here is important, absolutely, but it's so much more important than just here. It's got to be the way I live. Chapter 5 and verse 6 of Revelation says, then I saw a lamb. Looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. It goes on to describe them, seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So on he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So was it incense or was it prayers? Are prayers incense or are incense prayers? Verse 9. While this is going on, it says, and they sang a what song? A new song. What is a new song? Well, it's a song that's never been sung before. Have you ever sung a new song? Good. Before we're done with this series, I'm going to sing a new song. So you know what a new song sounds like, and then guess what? You're going to sing a new song. Even if you've sung a new song, you're going to sing another new song. Because you want to be comfortable in heaven, don't you? Okay, you need to learn some new songs. I know Jesus loves me. How many of you know that one? Six of you. Okay. Maybe that'll be a new song for some of you. All right. They sang a new song, and here's the song they sang. When I was feeling so bad. No, it wasn't. No, sorry, that wasn't it. No, there's the song they sang, and it's actually recorded in the Bible. Why does the Bible record for us specific songs? I thought if a person was expressing their heart to God, that it's a DIY job, that it's just kind of what comes out of you, and or maybe songs that other people have written that have gone viral, and that's you know what you should sing. Why does the Bible record, write down songs that they sang and are singing in heaven? Why does the Bible write that down? Must be for us. And it is. And we'll see how it is. But anyway, here's the song they sang, You Are Worthy, what we were singing this morning. Clive didn't know I was going to take this up. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. What's the scroll? It's the book. The seven-sealed book. You're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. That's why we pray before we preach. We want the Holy Spirit to open the seven-sealed book so that we all can get insight from it. Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. My brother, who is here today, we walked around in the offering together, and I asked him if he noticed that his flag is now up there. And he said to me as we were walking around, he said, Pastor, he says, all these flags are my flag. He said, that's the one he recognized. But he said, all these flags are my flag. Every tribe, tongue, and nation. Just turn to your neighbor and say, your tribe's been included. You were purchased by the blood of God, and you have made them to be a kingdom. So this is what we call the kingdom of God, the domain where the king rules. And he says, and priests to serve our God. Are you a priest? Are you a priest? Be careful how you answer now. You need to think about this for a moment. I'm sure if I asked you the question, are you a Christian? You could say yes. Then I'd say, well, how would anybody know? And then you could begin to give me some answers. But if I say to you, are you a priest? God says he made you a priest. If God says he made you a priest, then you are a priest. How many of you really know what a priest is? How many of you just don't have any courage to raise your hand? You don't want to be wrong. I didn't say this, so let's get in touch with it. We all believe in the kingdom of God. We were just watching the kingdom of God at work here a few moments ago. But he says, I made you priests. Well, if you don't know what a priest is, you can't be a good one. Hello. Turn to your name and say, you need to improve. What's a priest? Now, this is the New Testament, so if it's a New Testament priest, it's going to be different than the Old Testament priest. The Old Testament priest stood before God, and he made offerings. He made presentations to God that God had designed. So God says in the New Testament, I made you a kingdom, not like the national kingdom of Israel that I established, but the kingdom out of every tribe, tongue, and nation. And so you are part of the kingdom of God, but you're also priests. Now, actually, one translation there, and I like the translation because in my view, it translates the word for kingdom there in the best way, and that's kings. So it really says, and it comes later anyway, translated same, God has made you kings and priests. So that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Are you a king? Well, yes. Okay, do you act like a king? Hello? In church, I act like a king, Pastor. I'm a king. Can't you see my crown? Are you a king? If he made you to be a king, are you a king? If he made you, then you are. So do you act like a king? You ever see on TV a king who's like, oh, my. Not unless they're demented. And then they're not acting like a king. Well, that's another whole series. If God made you a king, then you should live like a king. In fact, One Christian brother wrote a book about being a king, and the flack he got for it, right out of the Bible. He got such opposition, and you know who maligned him the most? Fellow kings. So, but back to priests. If you're a priest, are you a good priest? What's it mean to be a New Testament, New Covenant priest? Is it just a Sunday job? Or is it a lifestyle? Well, it would seem to be so. If you're not just a king on Sundays, then you're not just a priest on Sundays. So here's what the kings and priests do. You made them a king, made them kings and priests to serve our God, and they will struggle all their days on the earth. Hello. How many of you are struggling? I'm not raising my hand, Pastor. I'm not admitting to that. I am struggling, but I'm not raising my hand to that. It says they'll reign on the earth. Reign. Rule. So as you sit there today, say something to yourself. You know, I need to start reigning more. I need to start reigning more. I've allowed stuff to come to my head and come to my body and come to my family and come to my finances, and I've just kind of taken the hit. Rather than said, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Devil, you don't know you're dealing with a king. You don't know you're dealing with a king. And actually, the one that's in me is greater than you. So you're out of here. You're out of here. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to your feet. I want you to practice a little bit. I hadn't planned to say any of this. I'd like you to practice a little bit here. Practice being kings. We'll get to the priests. But I'd like you to practice being kings a little bit today. Because if you don't practice it, you'll never develop it, will you? So somebody comes up to you and says, Michelle, how are you doing? You're going to say, well, man, I'm living like a king. And they're going to say, what? So I'd like you to act like a king today. I'd like you to tell the devil to get out of your life right now. Devil! I'm a king. Get out of my life. Get off my body. Get off my family. Get off my finances. Get off my business. Get off my relationships. Get off my head. Get off my children. Get off of me. In Jesus' name. You're gone. I rule over you. I'm finished with you. Mark it down. You're a loser. I'm a king. So I'm a winner. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You felt better just for doing that, didn't you? Oh, so what if your neighbors think you're wacky? Some of them do anyway. It's okay. Oh, but Pastor, that's just not the kind of person I am. You know, that's not my personality. Stop being that you're not and start being who you are. You're never comfortable being who you're not. So why don't you just give that up? And trade your uncomfortability about becoming who you are and become who you are. All right, I didn't plan to say any of that, but anyway, must be needed. Okay. So, these kings and priests, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they sang. Angels must not be timid. In a loud voice they sang, here it is again, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth. You know, one of the first words you learn as a child is the word mine. Mine. Don't you? The little wealth you have when you're a child, it's mine. Especially some other little toddler comes over to you and gets ready to take your doll. It's mine. It's mine. So you have to learn that wealth belongs to Him. You've got to be trained that wealth belongs to Him. And so if you're a wise parent, you say, why don't you give your doll to your friend? Yeah, but it's mine. It's mine. Just give it to them. Jesus wants you to give it to them. Okay, you can have it for 5 minutes. You never really own anything until you can easily give it away. Sometimes there's a lot of pain in learning that lesson. To receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them. Every creature, does that include you? Includes you and I. Every creature? Every creature. So the fish and the dinosaur, well, whatever creatures, they're going to be singing. Here's a song they're going to sing. I don't know what the tune is, but we'll all be singing. We'll all be singing. Say, but Pastor, what if on that day I don't feel like singing? You will. You will. There may be days on this planet you don't feel like singing, and you may take the decision not to sing. But in that day, you'll sing. And here's what they sing: to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. There's a song that you're going to sing. An exaltation of the Lord with all the creatures in heaven on earth. Why is this in the Bible? Well, I think there's a number of reasons in the Bible. But one of them, I believe, is that God wants us to understand what's already taking place in the heavens and what's going to take place in heaven. And so we pray a simple prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, didn't we? Don't we? We say, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in Poland. No, as it is in heaven. So the Bible gives us a picture of heaven where worship is taking place so we can imitate, practice, parallel on earth what's going on in heaven. Now that's an important point. If you study the religions of the world, all the religions of the world have 12 major features. And one of those features, one of the most significant features of all the religions of the world, is worship. They all have some form of worship. All of them. Why? Because God put this worship instinct in man. And all the religions of this world worship by a form or a design that is from a designer other than God. So they have their own set of things. So if you go to Japan and you want to worship Buddha, then you know that there are certain things that you do. And you have to climb the many steps to the concrete statue of Buddha, and you have to take your fruits and vegetables or whatever it is, and you make your presentations. You have that form of worship. And yet God says, I designed the instinct of worship. I designed the way in which you worship. And I designed that so that there's an impact from it. Now, worship is fundamentally of a spirit nature. As soon as you say you believe in something that's invisible, you've left earth and you've entered into the spirit dimension. You're no longer in the realm of science, empirical evidence, test tubes, computers. You're in a spirit realm. As soon as you say you believe. Some years ago, young people came to me and they said, Pastor, we've been experimenting with a Ouija board. And it's really amazing what happens. Now, they didn't have a clue that the power of this thing was actually released because they believed. And they had no idea where it was going to take them. Children were taken into psychiatric care in the first year that Pokemon came out in the marketplace. It was a phenomenon. The game was a phenomenon. But what it was doing, it was taking children and putting them in a spirit realm. And their behavior became so twisted and distorted, so abnormal, so unusual, so bizarre, and so difficult. They physiologically were okay, but so mentally disturbed they were taken into psychiatric care. So, as we started the service, the most important part of your life is the engagement of your spirit with the Spirit of God. Engage with the wrong spirit, you're headed another direction. Have you ever wondered why some of the most terrible, evil, wicked, bizarre, crazy, inexplicable crimes take place? And they seem to be increasing in our time. You ever wonder why? There's a short, simple answer. The person or persons involved got connected. They got connected to the one who's to kill, to steal, and to destroy. They don't know it. They just, in fact, sometimes when you see their photograph in the news, and their face in the news, you know, they're just there, and they got, you know, the kind of the bug-eyed look. And when you look at their face, you think, oh, yeah, they got writers. They got spirits that are involved in connecting their life. Now, all this, can it related to worship? Absolutely. Absolutely, because you see, the devil, who is a spirit, he's an angel. He is the archangel, Lucifer. He is a spirit that governs all of the other evil spirits in his domain. He operates as the prince of the power of the air. And what he wants to do is suppress you and I in this house so that we never connect powerfully and wonderfully, amazingly with the Holy Spirit. So he has this war going on. And if you're not careful, you can live your life. You're thinking, oh, yeah, I went to service and came home. This happened, that happened. You know, one of the reasons I like traveling in Africa and India is that their grid for life is, by virtue of their history and makeup, is different than in the West. In the West, we try to process everything logically with our head. You know, we're kind of taught to do that. And so we have all of our education. We process it instinctively from the beginning, everything from our head. When you go to cultures where they process more from a spirit or a subjective realm, you often see that miracles happen rapidly, quickly, and numerously, much more significantly. Because they're more connected. I was praying. I was asked to minister healing to a baby. And, you know, God was doing all these miracles. And they asked us, this young mother came onto the little program, the little area where we were just kind of hanging out, having a little rest. And they said, would you pray for this sick baby? I said, sure, sure. I won't pray for the sick baby, but I'll heal the baby. So the woman sitting there on the floor, and she had her little baby. I'm not really good with this, but probably maybe 2 or 3 months old. And I said, so what's wrong with the baby? And the mother said, I don't know. But she won't keep any food down. And she's got a terrible temperature. And I can't seem to get it to go down. I said, okay. Well, just as I started to pray, the Holy Spirit said, look at the baby's legs. Now, the baby's legs were covered up. So I said, could I see the baby's legs? She said, yes. Now, I haven't started to minister to the child yet. I said, can I see the baby's legs? He said, yes. So she pulls the blanket away, and I see two strings, one tied around each ankle. I thought, that's odd. You know, this is my Western brain. That's odd. You know, I never raised my children to have strings around their ankles. But instinctively, I knew there was something to it. So I said, so what's with these strings around the ankles? She said, oh, when we went to the witch doctor, he told us to put these strings around the ankle. So I asked the missionary, I said, you got a little knife? He said, yeah. I said, we're going to cut those off. Cut those off. I got ready to pray. And no, something wrong here. I said, let me see the wrists. Same thing. Little string around each one. She'd been to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor said, you know, if you want your child to be well, you need to do this. Now, did she believe? Of course she believed. She did it. She did it. We cut those strings off. We commanded that child to be well in Jesus' name. And that child was well. The temperature totally disappeared. The child stops crying, and the mom and baby were happy. Now, what happened? It was a spirit thing. It was a spirit thing. I'm only telling you that story because I want you to see how significant this whole realm of worship is. Traditionally in the West, you go to a church, which is not what we believe. You are the church. You can't ever go to a church. You can go to a church meeting, but you can never go to church because church is people. So, but traditionally, another tradition, you come to a church meeting in a building, and it is tradition to have some songs, and it's called the worship part of the service. But rarely, if ever, will you see on the screen a little sign that says, you are about to enter and engage the spirit realm. No, these are songs that go on the screen, and we sing those songs, and after we sing those songs, then we listen to that guy talk. And that was a Sunday. But that's not the Bible. The Bible says those that worship Him, if it's true worship, those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Spirit. There has to be this spirit dimension to worship, or it isn't worship. It isn't worship. It's singing. How many like to sing? I love to sing. I was taught to sing as a boy. You know, you may not sing well, but you still can love to sing. And that's okay. Whatever voice you got, you got. Hello. Some a nightingale, some a gale in the night. Yes. So, you love to sing. The whole world's singing. What's the big industry today? It's music. Music. But God says, if you're going to worship, you got to enter into a spirit realm. You don't enter the spirit realm, you're just singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Now you enjoyed singing, didn't you? And that old hymn still has the power to get a hold of your heart, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It does for me. It still has that power. But you know, you can sing and make those noises and feel all those things that you feel while you're singing. That's not bad. That's good. That's the way God made us. But when you sing it, you're not just singing to the front of the building. It's going this way. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's your grace, Lord, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. So you're not just singing it. You're singing to Him. And I'll close with this story. About a year ago, I was in the U.S. I had a privilege to spend some time with a worship leader. We were talking about worship. And I said to him, have you ever uncovered two little words that go together in the big worship book of the Bible, which is Psalms? And he kind of looked at me strange. I'm used to that. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, the Bible says, sing to. It says sing, but more significantly, it says sing to. Sing to. Sing to what? Sing to the Lord. So when you come and you gather, or you're at home and you've got your music on, and you start to sing, are you just singing? Are you singing too? He said, you know, in all my years in training, I've never heard that. He said, I've led lots of congregations. I've never heard what you just said. And he's a great vocalist and so on. I've never heard singing too. But that little preposition, singing too, is what changes you from just singing and all the good things about singing that we love to engaging the spirit realm. Because when you close your eyes and open your spirit man and you sing too, you've entered the spirit realm. And where God wants to take this house, He wants us all to get so into the spirit realm in our worship, we lose track of earth. And the one who is enthroned in our praises then begins to administrate justice to all the stuff on this earth that matters to us. Stand to your feet. You know, I don't know how much worship is going to be in eternity. You read the Bible and there are some that are singing forever. And I can't get my head around that. I know there's other things that take place. But I believe that's in the Bible because God wants to bring heaven to me and heaven to you. Because we become great, great worshipers. And so I'd like you to just bow your heart with me in prayer right now.